Today's reading comes from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 18, verses 1 through 16. Again, this is 2 Kings chapter 18, and as a little note, I'm actually going to read this from the New Living Translation this morning because it's a little bit easier to follow along. There's lots of conversations that's going to happen, and I'm not going to read the entire story to you, but I want to read the first 16 verses to give you a feel for it. Okay, a reading from 2 Kings chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, began to rule over Judah in the third year of King Hoshea's reign in Israel. He was 29 years old and became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as ancestor David had done. He removed the pagan shrines, smashed the sacred pillars, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke up the bronze serpent that Moses had made, because the people of Israel had been offering sacrifice to it. The bronze serpent is called Nishutan. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before or after his time. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything, and he carefully obeyed all the commands the Lord had given Moses. So the Lord was with him, and Hezekiah was successful in everything he did. He revolted against the king of Assyria and refused to pay him tribute. He also conquered the Philistines as far distant as Gaza and its territory, from the smallest outpost to the largest walled city. During the fourth year of Hezekiah's reign, which was the seventh year of King Hoshea's reign in Israel, King Shalmaneser of Assyria attacked the city of Samaria and began a siege against it. 3 years later, during the sixth year of Hezekiah's reign, and the ninth year of King Hoshea's reign in Israel, Samaria fell. At that time, the king of Assyria exiled the Israelites to Assyria and placed them in colonies at Halah along the banks of the harbor, river, or Gozan, and the cities of the Medes. For they refused to listen to the Lord their God and obey him. Instead, they violated his covenant, all the laws that Moses, the Lord's servant, had commanded them to obey. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, King Sennacherib of Assyria came to attack the fortified cities of Judah and conquer them. King Hezekiah sent this message to the king of Syria at Lachish. I have done wrong. I will pay whatever tribute money you demand, if only you withdraw. The king of Syria then demanded a settlement of more than 11 tons of silver and 1 ton of gold. To gather this amount, King Hezekiah used all the silver stored in the silver of the Lord in the place of the treasury. Hezekiah even stripped the gold from the doors of the Lord's temple, and from the doorpost he had overlaid with gold, and gave it all to the Syrian king. My friends, to the word of God, for the people of God, thanks be to God. This is what I want to talk to you about. What do we do when we face enemies in our life? A giant threat. What do we do when things seem hopeless? We feel helpless. We're scared. Who do we turn to? What do we do? Well, this morning we'll look at the reign of King Hezekiah. Now, he's the king of Judah. And as I mentioned before, when King Solomon died, his son took over. That'd be King David's grandson. And because of his ignorance and foolishness, the kingdom of David got split into two. And 10 tribes formed the kingdom of Israel. And their main 2 tribes formed the kingdom of Judah. And this past summer, we've seen that the kings of Israel were wicked and ungodly. At the best, you had some who somewhat followed the path of the Lord. Meanwhile, down in Judah, with those 2 tribes, it's more of a roller coaster. You might have a godly king for a couple years, and then he's followed by a wicked king. Or you might get 2 good ones back to back, or 2 bad ones back to back. It was just up and down, up and down. And last week, we looked at King Ahaz and how he was scared of the king of Israel. And God sent the prophet Isaiah to him and said, listen, God's going to give you a sign not to be afraid of these kings. And talking about the birth of a child. And then later on in Christian theology, that is a foreshadowment of the birth of Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, who came to conquer the kingdoms of death and sin. Well, King Ahaz finally dies, and King Hezekiah now reigns. And King Hezekiah is a bright spot in the kingdom of Judah. It says that he did what was pleasing in the sight of the Lord, as his ancestor David had done. Talking about he destroyed pagan shrines, he smashed the pillars, tore down the Asherah poles. Then he did something that sounds kind of strange, disappointing. He destroyed the bronze serpent that Moses made. Now, a lot of you know that's actually a favorite story of mine, because remember, that's the story about when the people were wandering the wilderness and they were complaining, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And so the Lord sent in, and I like how this translation says poisonous snakes, no, but we know it's venomous snakes, right? They're not poisonous, they're venomous, into the camp. And those snakes have been programmed to bite anyone who's been complaining. And I have to say, if you came into church this morning and you found a big old rattlesnake and a copperhead in your pew, and that snake wouldn't bite you unless you've been complaining this past week, how would you turn out? Yeah, he's laughing. Think that'd be gone, right? And so the people go to Moses and, Moses, tell the Lord, we're sorry for complaining so much. And so Moses goes to the Lord and said, Lord, the people are sorry about complaining, being ungrateful. They're glad they're not slaves anymore in Egypt. How can we make this better? And then the Lord gives Moses this strange command. Make a serpent out of bronze and set the serpent on a pole. And tell the people that they'll go and look up that serpent, they'll be healed of their snake bites. Hold on, Lord. You want me to make a snake so they can be healed of a snake? Yes. You know, and when you read the Jewish Apocrypha that you might find in the Catholic Bible, it makes a reference about how it wasn't the snake that healed them, but it was the Lord healing them. And then later on in John chapter 3, that famous chapter, before we get to verse 16, Jesus tells Nicodemus, Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up on a cross. Why? Because Peter says, he who knew no sin became sin, so we can find forgiveness of our sin. What's sad is, though, what should have been a reminder of God's faithfulness and mercy has turned into an idol. And Hezekiah said, we can't have that, and he destroyed it. You know, sometimes in life, you got to take desperate measures. And then it talks about how the Lord is blessing him and such, and it looks like things are going great. And then in verse 9, it talks about how in his seventh year, his next-door neighbor, the cousins of Israel, they get attacked by the Syrians. And 3 years later, those 10 tribes are conquered, and they're hauled off into exile. And then things fall apart. The wheels come off. Hezekiah has not been paying tribute to the king of Syria. Hasn't been writing any checks. And so the king of Syria comes down in a rage, attacks, takes several cities. Hezekiah says, I'm sorry, how much do I owe you? You know, and listen to this amount of money. 11 tons of silver, 1 ton of gold. And Hezekiah, bless his heart, he is going to the piggy bank. I mean, he's getting to the temple. Anything he's got, he's trying to pay him off. But there's one problem, though. The king of Syria had enough. After he got the money, he said, we're going to march and we're going to conquer Judah for once for all. We already conquered the 10 tribes of Israel. That was easy. How much easier would it be to conquer 2 tribes in Judah? And so, verse 19 talks about the chief of staff came and gave a message to Hezekiah about how, why are you trusting that makes you so confident? Do you think the mere words can substitute for military skill and strength? And then he goes and says, and perhaps you'll say to me, we're trusting the Lord our God. And verse 25, and what's more, Do you think we invaded your land by the Lord's direction? The Lord himself told us to attack this land and destroy it. The Assyrian army here was saying that the Lord told us to attack your country. Guys, that's because somebody said the Lord told them so. That didn't mean the Lord tell them. People lie about that all the time. And then, if that wasn't bad enough, the messenger says, do you think my master sent this message only to you and your master? He wants all the people to hear it. For when we put this city under siege, they will suffer along with you. Verse 28. Then the chief of staff stood and shouted in Hebrew to the people on the wall. See, previously they were speaking Aramaic. Now he spoke in Hebrew to talk to the people. Listen to the message from the great king of Syria. This is what the king says. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you. He will never be able to rescue you from my power. Don't let him fool you into trusting into the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely rescue us. This city will never fall in the hands of the Syrian king. And he goes on to say, don't listen to Hezekiah when he tries to mislead you by saying the Lord will rescue us. Have the gods in every nation ever saved their people from the king of Syria? What happened to the gods of Hamath and Arpad? And what about the gods of Sheroph, Hinnom, and Avia? Did the God rescue Samaria from my power? What God of any nation has ever been saved his people from my power? So what makes you think that the Lord can rescue Jerusalem from me? The enemy shouts out in Hebrew, you think your Lord can rescue you? Listen, we've been in this country, this country, this country, this country, this country, this country. We're 6-0. None of their gods came to the rescue. A few years ago, we got your cousins over in Israel, bagged them and tagged them. You're next. You might as well come out and surrender. Verse 36. But the people were silent and did not utter a word because Hezekiah commanded them, do not answer him. You see, my friends, it's not always necessary to say something in response to the enemy. When the enemy is a down despair, come up against you and tell you this stuff, don't argue with them. Don't argue. Don't do that. If you want to talk to somebody, don't talk to your enemy. Talk to someone else. And so what happened? Verse 5. Well, let me back up. In chapter 19, Hezekiah sends a message to Isaiah. Today is a day of trouble and souls in disgrace. But perhaps the Lord your God has heard the Syrian chief of staff, sent by the king to defy the living God, and will punish him for his words. Oh, pray for those who are left. And Isaiah sent back a message. Say to your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be disturbed by this blasphemous speech against me from the Syrian king's messenger. Listen, I myself will move against him, and the king will receive a message that he is needed at home. So he will return to his land, where I will have him killed with a sword. And so Hezekiah sends a message to Isaiah. Prophet, I need you to pray for me. Pray for me. We're in trouble. This is bad. The enemy has surrounded us. Isaiah sends a message back. Don't be disturbed. This king has blasphemed God through his nonsense. And because of that, the Lord himself is going to do battle against him. He will fight a battle against him, and he will give him a reason to go back to his homeland. And when he goes back to his homeland, he will be killed by the sword. Well, King Sennacherib comes down, and then they send a letter. Did you ever get some bad news in the mailbox? A letter for someone you didn't like? Maybe a bill? Or maybe it was an email or a text. What'd you do with it? This letter read, this message is for King Hezekiah of Judah. Don't let your God whom you trust deceive you with promises that Jerusalem will not be captured by the king of Syria. You know perfectly well what the kings of Syria have done wherever they have gone. They have completely destroyed everyone who stood in their way. Why should you be indifferent? Have the gods in their nations rescued them? Such nations as Gozan, Haran, Rezpah, and the people of Eden, who were in Tel Ziar. My predecessors were them all. What happened to the king of Harnath and the king of Arpad? What happened to the kings of Shephiroth, Hena, and Avah? And so here's Hezekiah. He gets this letter from the king of Syria. And it says, don't let your God deceive you. Here's my resume. I destroyed all these kingdoms. Do you want to talk about what happened to those kings? And usually the king would have been killed or thrown into the dungeon. But listen to this. After Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it, he went up to the Lord's temple and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed this prayer for the Lord. O Lord, God of Israel, you are enthroned between the mighty cherub. You alone are God of all kingdoms of the earth. You alone create the heavens and the earth. Bend down, O Lord, and listen. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to Sennacherib's words of defiance against the living God. It is true, Lord, that the kings of Assyria had destroyed all these nations, and they had thrown the gods of these nations to the fire and burned them. But of course the Assyrians could destroy them. They were not gods at all, only idols of wood and stone shaped by human hands. Now, O Lord our God, rescue us from this pyre, and then all the kingdoms of the earth shall know that you alone, O Lord, are God. When the king Hezekiah got that letter, he didn't read it over and over. He didn't post on Facebook. He didn't call a friend. Instead, he went to the temple. They'd like come to church. He spread a letter around that I'd be on top of the altar here. And he prayed a prayer. And his prayer focused very little on the king of Assyria. Instead, he focused on the king of heaven and earth. O Lord, God of Israel, you are a throne between the mighty cherub. Remember how in the Ark of the Covenant, there was the two cherub looking at each other. And it's interesting how Easter read about at Jesus' resurrection. When Mary Magdalene looked in, she saw the two angels looking at each other as a sign of God's divine presence, his power. And so he prayed a prayer saying, Lord, I need you to come to my rescue. And he says, he's bragging about how he destroyed these other nations and their gods. He said, of course they could. Their gods were made out of stone and idols and wood. They can be destroyed. They were made by human hands. You cannot be. Come to my rescue. And then he got a message from Isaiah. This was the Lord, the God of Israel, hath says, I have heard your prayer about King Sennacherib of Syria. And the Lord has spoken this word against him. Isaiah sent a message. King Hezekiah, the Lord has heard your prayer. I got a word for you. And he ends the message by saying, for a remnant of my people will spread from Jerusalem, a group of survivors from Mount Zion. The passionate commitment of the Lord's heaven's armies will make this happen. And this is what the Lord says about the king of Assyria. His armies will not enter Jerusalem. They will not even shoot an arrow at it. Nor will they march outside its gates with their shields. Nor build banks of earth against its walls. The king will return to his own country by the same road by which he came. He will not enter this city, says the Lord. For my honor and for the sake of my servant David, I will defend the city and protect it. Now think about that promise. The Lord promised that he was going to send his armies of heaven to come down. He said there won't be an arrow fire inside the city limits. There won't be any action around the city. The king's going to go back home. And it says, for my own honor and for the sake of my servant David. Remember, if you do the family tree, Hezekiah is descended from King David, a man after God's own heart. That's important for all you parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. When you live a godly life, that legacy pays dividends years and years later to your descendants. And God said, I will defend this city and protect it. But what happened? Well, if you read the ancient historian, he said that mice came in and ate all the weapons up. And as C.S. Lewis said in his book Miracles, which is more likely, that the mice came in or what happened in 2 Kings? Verse 35. That night, the angel of the Lord went out to the Syrian camp and killed 185,000 Syrian soldiers. When the surviving Syrians woke up the next morning, they found corpses everywhere. Then King Sennacherib of Syria broke camp and turned to his own land. He went home to the capital of Nineveh and stayed there. So that night, God unleashed the angel of death. And the next morning, a bugle call, the soldiers got up. The guy in the barrack to his left was dead. The guy in the barrack to his right was dead. Corpses everywhere. They went back home. And then listen to verse 37. One day, while he, that's King Sennacherib, was worshiping in the temple of his god Nisroch, that's an idol, his sons, Adramov and Shroma, killed him with their swords. Then they escaped to the land of Ararat, and their son, Esarhaddon, became the next king of Syria. God, his divine provision, set up to where the king of Syria, who spoke the words of blasphemy around Jerusalem, retreated, went back home, and then his own two sons killed him. And then they took off running, and the third son ended up being the next king of Syria. Now, what about us this morning? What do you do when you hear bad news? Do you run? Do you hide? Do you fret? Do you just, I want to turn on some music, kind of forget about it? Or you do what Hezekiah did. When this happened, Hezekiah got on his knees and he prayed. And he asked for the prophet Isaiah to pray for him. What does New Testament says of Lord Paul? Pray for one another. Carry one another's burdens. And then when that letter came in, Hezekiah didn't show to all his buddies, the generals and such, what we're going to do about it. Instead, he went to the temple. He laid that letter out, and he prayed that magnificent prayer, saying, "Oh Lord," and throw him between the two cherubim. "I need your help. I need you. Defend your honor." And then the word came from the prophet Isaiah. "King Hezekiah, you got nothing to worry about. The Lord has heard your prayers. And because his king has been so blasphemous against the name of the Lord, he himself is going to come down with his heavy army. He will defend this city. Not one arrow shall be fired within the city walls. And this same king will hit the highway and go back home. And there he'll meet his own death." And thus, the Lord gave Hezekiah a great victory. No bow and arrows, no chariots, no swords, no spears. It was all God's doing. And so my prayer for you this morning is, when you face darkness, when you get that bad news, that bad report, maybe in your family, financial, health, instead of worrying about it, fretting about it, being scared about it, I would encourage you to pray about it. Maybe you take that medical report and lay it before the Lord and say, "Lord, this is what I'm facing. I need your help." Or maybe that bad financial report, "Lord, I need your help. I'm giving this to you." Cast your cares upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. Thanks be to God. Amen.